And greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, wenihao, namaste, konnichiwa, guten tag, bonjour, half a day, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan. From the entertainment capital of the genetically mutated McNugget Pharmaceutical Vivisection Prison Industrial Complex, where we pledge allegiance to the Corporation of the United States of Listeria, and do solemnly swear to take a Donald Rumsfeld bird flu vaccine shot. Huh? Rumsfeld has thus far shown such remarkable concern for human health and welfare. Of course, I trust him with my health. I was beginning to think that this bird flu thing was a hoax, since Rumsfeld's company was the one owning the patent on Tamiflu. And Bush has allocated over $7 billion for the vaccine. But now I must say that I'm hearing reports that the vaccine is ineffective and that some people who have taken the vaccine in Japan apparently have died from it. So I'm feeling it's less of a hoax and it sounds more like, you know, Donald Rumsfeld cashing in, as the folks seem to know how to cash in on catastrophe, huh? So, but I'm feeling it's less of a hoax now.
Mad cow, bird flu. Which one is killing you?
Yes, bird flu. Associated with birds. Yes, and here we are, Thanksgiving weekend. Thanksgiving associated with birds. How much bird have you eaten since Thursday? Still a bit of that decomposing carcass in the refrigerator there, serving it up between slices of bread as it continues to decompose. Oh, I presume I have your undivided attention, at least on this week's program. You've now been confined in a small space for 3 days now with nothing but family members, huh? So I presume by now no one in the house is talking with anybody else, so I should have your undivided attention. Hopefully no one in the household becomes a statistic this weekend, one of those 70 million food poisonings in the United States this year. 5,000 immediate deaths from that, and well, those who survive initially, like, the salmonellas of the world or the E. coli's of the world, are prone to life-threatening complications later. So, let me fill the void, the silence in your house now after 3 days of confinement with family. Fill the void. Let it echo through the silent house there. Let it rebound off the walls. Go vegan! Let this be the last Thanksgiving where a dead bird is the centerpiece for celebration. How could that be? By the way, just to settle any family arguments, if you're if your holiday is in a mixed household, meaning vegans and meat eaters, and the meat eaters are feeling guilty eating turkey around the vegans, well, to settle the argument so that there can be finally be peace in the household, just so you know, the vegans are right. That settles that, okay? The vegans are right.
Oh, I know. You're going to be the hottest controversial vegan talk show host on the face of the planet.
Oh, so you say things are a little more complicated? You live in another kind of mixed household, a little less socially acceptable? You mean, no, don't tell me, you still have a Bush supporter at the table? Well, no, don't be confrontational, especially if he's the one with the carving knife, okay? I recommend a temporary restraining order, divorce, no child visitation, and perhaps the witness protection program. That's if and only if there's someone in your family still arguing for Bush, still supportive of Bush. See if his medical coverage includes psychiatric evaluation. Maybe lessen the amount of meat in his diet to encourage blood flow to the brain. Other than that, all I could say is, you know, run for your life. Anyway, there's a place that you can run to today, right now. And today being Sunday, November 27th, and maybe you can run off to an exotic location where your dysfunctional Bush-supporting family member won't be searching today, huh? Well, you can join me today at the Little Ethiopia Festival in Los Angeles. Little Ethiopia, if you can find Fairfax and Olympic in LA, you know, you're pretty much there. In fact, join me today. I will be at Rahel Veggie Cuisine in Little Ethiopia. I'm speaking at around 3 p.m. this afternoon. Come on out and enjoy vegan Ethiopian cuisine at Rahel, the world's first and only vegan Ethiopian restaurant. It's all-you-can-eat style today until 5 p.m. Check out what's on the menu at Rahel. You can go to the website. It's rahelveggiecuisine.com, R-A-H-E-L, veggiecuisine.com. And so we'll be hanging out today at 1047 South Fairfax Avenue in Los Angeles, and hope to see you there. I think we're going to have a good time, and you'll experience Ethiopian food. Next weekend is the first anniversary of Rahel, the first vegan Ethiopian restaurant in the world. And we have it here in Los Angeles, an amazing menu. And, you know, we scoop up all these wonderful stews with that wonderful spongy bread. And, well, I just hope to see you out there today for the Little Ethiopia Festival. Also, something that I'd like you to put on your calendar for the weeks ahead, it is on Sunday, December 11th, noon to 5 p.m., South Central Farm Aid Vegan Support Day. This is happening at the farm. It's 41st Street and Alameda in Los Angeles, and it's an event to bring greater public awareness to the plight of the threatened farmers and families, and a plea to the city of Los Angeles, its mayor, and its people to find alternatives to eviction and bulldozing the largest urban garden in the United States in favor of building a warehouse. So let us show support. Help save our urban community farm. The situation is critical now for the South Central farmers, with over 300 poor families, mostly of Mexican, Central, and South American heritage, facing eviction from the land that has provided health and sustenance and community for many years. And to learn about the plight of the farmers, you can go to southcentralfarmers.com. But remember, Sunday, December 11th, noon to 5, South Central Farm Aid speakers, celebrities including Ed Begley Jr. He'll be there early from noon to about 12:30. He's been a favorite of mine since St. Elsewhere. And Pamela Ferdin, Alfredo Cuba, the winner of PETA's first Cesar Chavez Award, and Cesar Chavez, vegetarian. Kenneth G. Williams will be there. He's a vegan champion, natural bodybuilder. So bring along your family members who are into sports. Say hi to Kenneth Williams that day. We have reggae music from the people, vegan potluck, vegan restaurant food, thanks to Truly Vegan in Hollywood, Vegetable Delight in Granada Hills, and many more. Farmers Market, progressive people. I'll be hosting it, and suggested donation at the door is $10, but it's free for those who can't afford to donate. You can bring a table and distribute your group's literature for free, $10 suggested donation if that's affordable. Free vegetarian starter kits in Spanish. So we hope to see you there Sunday, December 11th, noon to 5 at the farm. It's 41st Street and Alameda in Los Angeles. And I hope that you will consider supporting the show with a tax-deductible donation. You know, this is that time of year when you get hit up by everybody. And if you want to have a voice for the animals on the radio, please, please, please make a tax-deductible donation to GoVeganRadio.com, a project of 501c3 International Humanities Center. It's very simple. You write out a check to Go Vegan Radio and mail it to P.O. Box 40246, San Diego, California, 92164. And all this information is at the website. It's GoVeganRadio.com. The show is archived there. Usually, every Sunday, it gets up on the website also, as it's broadcast on radio stations on Sundays. And we podcast all of this for your convenience, so you can listen to this show that focuses on the major issues of our time. And I don't know, there's a great controversy brewing right now. If you saw 60 Minutes, what was it, within the last couple of weeks, Dr. Jerry Vlasic was on 60 Minutes, and he also spoke a few weeks back in front of a U.S. Senate subcommittee. A lot of controversy over his comments, and we will examine that on today's show. Let's see, you've been consuming those pathogens, and hopefully we get Dr. Salar on the line and talk about pathogens and worms. If you've been consuming the typical holiday meal, we'll address some of those health issues later today on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. I thank you for listening. If you need to contact me, it's 818-623-6477 or bob@govegan.radio.com. I'm always talking about how delicious Veggianaise is. No vegan kitchen should be without it. It dresses up even the simplest foods, like my favorite sandwich, avocado, tomato, and Veggianaise. Or is it mashed up chickpeas, celery, onions, and Veggianaise? Or a tofu burger with Veggianaise? Well, I do know I love it on baked or steamed yams. Well, you think you'd read about Veggianaise in a cookbook, it winning the American Tasting Institute Award? So I was surprised to see Veggianaise in a book about stroke prevention. Yet there it is, page 194, in Stroke Free for Life by David Weber's MD, Chair, Cerebrovascular Diseases, and Director, Stroke Research Center, Mayo Clinic. And who would know better about a Mayo alternative? Try Veggianaise, now in organic. Available at Follow Your Heart, Canoga Park, California, and natural food stores everywhere. Okay, and also from Follow Your Heart, I invite you to try vegan gourmet cheese alternatives. Dairy is scary, and you can eliminate it from your diet. Get rid of the dairy, but you can... my cell phone going off here. So you don't have to want for enchiladas or pizza or nachos and all of that with vegan gourmet cheese alternatives. And Follow Your Heart also gives you great organic salad dressings. And the vegan varieties include creamy miso ginger, balsamic vinaigrette, and Italian vinaigrette.
MEATSTINKS. Meat stinks.
That it does, and you don't have to put up with it. You could go to a great vegan restaurant like Truly, a vegan restaurant in Hollywood that is, hooray for Hollywood. You know, a lot of people in Hollywood who listen to this show are now saying, whoa, just found out it's right up the block from us here, and we love it. What a menu it has. And of course, well, who wouldn't want to eat at a restaurant? Right on the menu, it says, we want to make a positive and healthful contribution to society by using products that are animal-free. We're making a statement to ourselves and others that we're conscious eaters acting toward the greater good of all beings. And who would imagine that it would be so delicious? And Truly has introduced a great sushi menu. Of course, no animal products, but delicious sushi. And with a little chill in the air, you might want to try the shabu shabu, which is a traditional traditional Japanese dish. It's served with a pot of boiled kombu soup and delicious thin-sliced soy meat, mixed fresh vegetables, glass noodles, udon, tofu, and two kinds of dipping sauces. It also comes with steamed rice. And they bring the stove right to your table, and you wind up cooking your own soup right there, and you'll be amazed at what a great vegan chef you are, right at your own table at Truly, 5907 Hollywood Boulevard at Bronson. Truly, 5907 Hollywood Boulevard at Bronson. Yes, they cater, so they can handle your next event. They deliver in the Hollywood area, 323-466-7958.
meat eaters destroy the earth.
That's for sure. So, you know, like they should stop that. You know, there are hidden animal ingredients that, you know, from the rendering plant that often get into soaps. And I want to invite you to discover California Cove Designs, proud to present its exclusive line of gourmet vegan soaps, handmade from pure essential oils and the finest fragrance oils. These are really beautiful soaps without all the garbage added to regular soap. You'll feel clean and refreshed and your skin will be super soft. And what a wonderful, you can do your holiday shopping right at the website. It's CaliforniaCoveDesigns.com. You can call 714-615-8263. And what a variety, from the, you know, the heart-shaped soap in a box. These are wonderful gifts, to the double-layered massage bar soaps, to there's the gardener's soap with essential oil of lime and sweet almond, topped with finely crushed pumice stone for scrubbing action. So, and also all profits from the sale of California Cove Design soaps are donated to causes that help abused and abandoned animals. So please check it out. It's CaliforniaCoveDesigns.com for your holiday shopping. 714-615-8263. Yes, indeed. Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Just want to remind you to check out the family of foods from Edward and Sons. You know, maybe you already know Edward and Sons from Miso Cup, but the brown rice snaps work wonderfully for hors d'oeuvres. And there's the Wizard's line of sauces. And my friends are really into that line. And the Native Forest Organic Hearts of Palm. And Let's Do Organic with the gummy bears that are, finally have your vegan choice, no gelatin, from Edward and Sons. And just a wonderful line of foods. You can go to edwardandsons.com, edwardandsons.com. And just a wonderful line of foods, vegan choices that you can get from them. And also check out the PETA website if you're looking for employment. Go to PETA.org. There are job listings there with PETA, PETA.org. We continue now on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. And gosh, you probably saw Dr. Jerry Vlasic. He was on 60 Minutes. Let's see, was it last week or the Sunday before? And then recently was in front of a Senate subcommittee. And Dr. Jerry Vlasic, welcome to Go Vegan with Bob Linden. How are you?
Hi, Bob. Nice to be on again.
Okay. It's good to have you back on the show. And it's who would have imagined that you would find yourself embroiled in this center of controversy here? Let's tell the audience what you have said, and you know, let's clarify what you're talking about here. Okay, Jerry?
Yeah, hi, Bob.
Okay, yes. So let's talk about what you've been intending to say. But by the way, I saw your opening comments in front of the Senate subcommittee, and I thought it was a very eloquent speech that you made there, and very unusual for those kinds of words to be said in front of the official body there of the Senate, talking about the horrors experienced by animals. I know that you wanted to put up some graphic displays, and you were refused in front of the Senate there. And then I didn't hear the question and answer period that followed. So tell us what's going on in your life and how you find yourself in the middle of this controversy.
Well, I was asked by the representative of the U.S. Senate Environmental and Public Works Committee to appear before a committee meeting talking about, of all things, SHAC campaign, or the Stop Huntington Animal Cruelty campaign. The committee had a similar meeting on, quote, eco-terrorism, unquote, back in May, and had actually invited representatives from our movement to testify, and everyone had declined. And I thought, it was time that we gave our viewpoints, or more importantly, the animals' viewpoints, to these people and let them hear the other side of the story. So I jumped at the opportunity to talk to the Senate. And what they did was they told me I would have 5 minutes of interrupted time to say what I wanted to. And instead of, you know, making the plea for, you know, why the Shad campaign was good and so forth, I decided that there'd be plenty of time to talk about that during the question and answer period. But the thing that I wanted to talk about was just the immense amount of suffering going on behalf of animals. So I spent basically 6 minutes there before the Environmental and Public Works Committee of the U.S. Senate and in front of a number of Huntington Life Sciences executives, including Andrew Baker, the president, and their general counsel, Mark Beebe, and others. And I spent 6 solid minutes just outlining the suffering of animals inside Huntington Life Sciences, where 500 animals are killed every single day to test things like, you know, oven cleaner and pesticides. And so I spent, for 6 minutes, the world's attention was focused on animal suffering at HLS, and I thought that was the best use of my time. And then I did try to put up some posters. The EPW committee people had put up posters of, various ALF activities and so forth. And so I just tried to put up a couple of posters of the animals being tortured at Huntington Life Sciences. And actually, the chairman originally agreed to let me put them up, and I got about halfway up to the easel and was starting to put them up there when Senator Lautenberg, who is the pharmaceutical flacky senator from New Jersey, objected and said that he didn't think I should put them up and that, you know, I had to clear them, 72 hours in advance, and I don't know, a bunch of other rhetoric. And so basically, at the end of the day, I wasn't allowed to put those pictures up, although I did prop them up at the base of the table where I was sitting for people to see.
Well, maybe we should clear something up, because I know that you have been framed as representing, right at the Senate there, they were using the word terrorist. They were using the word extremist. So I guess, Dr. Vlasic, I guess I should ask you, are you now or have you ever been associated with Al-Qaeda?
I am not associated with Al-Qaeda. Let's be be absolutely clear about that. I don't know anybody that flies jetliners into skyscrapers or utilizes improvised explosive devices to kill innocent people. What I have said is, and I'm basically just giving voice to thousands, if not tens of thousands, of other people out there who are discussing this issue on a regular basis, is I'm just saying that the time has come for those who abuse animals to be held accountable. If they won't stop abusing animals when we ask them nicely, if they won't stop abusing animals when we show them all the evidence about why it's unnecessary and what the alternatives are, then they should be stopped. And I've said, and I, again, am speaking on behalf of many other people out there, they should be stopped using whatever means are necessary to stop them. And I'm, I've never backed down from that statement.
Now, by whatever means necessary, then people assume that that might mean violence against those who are inflicting violence against animals?
Well, they use violence against us all the time. They've killed animal rights campaigners. They use violence against the animals every single day. So in my opinion, there's nothing wrong with using violence in self-defense, whether that's in our own self-defense or whether that's in self-defense of the animals. I mean, listen, the animal liberation movement is no different than any other liberation movement. And there's been violence used in every liberation movement, whether it's the fight against apartheid in South Africa, whether it was freedom struggles in places like Algeria or Vietnam or in Iraq and Afghanistan today. The violence was used in our own country when we underwent our own revolution back in the 1700s against the against England, and against the fight, it was used in the fight against slavery. John Brown is one of my heroes, and he utilized violence to oppose the system that allowed people to own black people. So violence has been used historically in every struggle, and it's been used in our struggle against us and is used against us every single day. All I'm saying is that it's time to pull off the gloves, and as one of my favorite quotes from Malcolm X, it's time to stop singing and start swinging.
Well, now, people would be interested to know that you're actually a surgeon. Every day you're saving lives, and helping people, and I think that there's been a reaction in the animal rights movement, because we we're a movement that really is based in nonviolence. So I think that there's a lot of nervousness now, and there's a reaction to what you're saying that has a lot of people confused.
Well, whenever you start to make real strides in any movement, there's always nervousness on behalf of everyone involved. More importantly, nervousness on behalf of those that are abusing animals. But there are people in any movement who are uncomfortable with moving forward. And if we're going to move forward in this campaign, if we're going to make real change, then we're going to see increased oppression against us. We're going to see the government try to crack down on us. But that's inevitable. If you look in the United Kingdom, where they've been much more active in the struggle for animal liberation, the more successful they are, the more the government tries to crack down on them, and the more they persist. And the same thing is going to happen here. If you're going to have change, you're going to have resistance to that change. And if you want to keep on doing the same old thing year after year, decade after decade, if you want to see the same number of animals being tortured and killed every single year, which we continue to do, then fine. That's a very comfortable situation for a lot of people. But decrying violence against those who abuse animals is only furthering violence against animals. And the only way we're going to get that to change is to rethink our strategies and our tactics.
Okay, now I put this out to people saying that you were going to be on today's show, and I asked people if they had any questions or anything they wanted to bring up to you. So if you're open to it, I guess I could bring up what some of the folks were saying and see what your responses might be.
Sure, I'm happy to answer questions.
Okay, now in supporting violence, I'm hearing from people, they're saying that goes against the Animal Liberation Front credo of not harming any living being. And on the 60 Minutes show, Rod Coronado was on there, and he has spent time in prison for torching research laboratories and fur facilities. And he was quoted as saying, the ALF has never hurt anyone. It's no risk to any lives and no risk to any living being. His activities were no risk to any living being. So this is a separation between your thinking and by the way, the ALF is considered the number one terrorist organization by the government, having never injured anybody in any of its actions. Its actions are usually against machinery, or I see just recently there were slogans painted in Long Island on a mayor's home and car, which seemed to stop a deer hunt that was going to go on in that town there. So what about those who are sympathetic to the ALF and its credo of not doing any violence? I understand that people are concerned about that.
Well, listen, first of all, I unabashedly support the Animal Liberation Front. I think that they're by far the most active underground organization in this country and around the world. And they have been active since, the late 1970s. They're a terrific organization. That they're causing an immense amount of economic damages to industries that abuse animals, and they even free animals from exploitation directly. And they're a great organization. That said, they're just one of many underground organizations, and there are other underground organizations that don't have this credo of nonviolence. That's point number one. Point number two is it's a bit hypocritical to say that the Animal Liberation Front has never hurt any living being. If they're taking credit for large-scale arsons, and Rod Coronado, who's a friend of mine, certainly has taken credit for arsons and served prison time for them. I don't think it's possible to say that there weren't animals harmed in those arsons, whether they were spiders or mice and rats or anything else. I'm not against it. I think that there will always be innocent victims in any struggle. There's been 100,000 innocent Iraqi people killed by our forces over there who had nothing to do with anything, okay, except being in the wrong place at the wrong time. So there's always innocent victims in any struggle. And I'm not saying that what the ALF has done is wrong. I'm just saying that they can't realistically say they've never hurt any animal, human or non-human. Mm. The other thing is, sooner or later, they probably will hurt a human being, whether it's some stupid fireman that trips over something while fighting the fire, or or something else. But again, I don't decry that. I think that's just part of the struggle. Listen, these liberation, you know, these Animal Liberation Front guidelines that were, you know, put into place by, you know, whoever wrote them originally, you know, probably a couple of decades ago, are always subject to change. And just because, you know, an organization uses one set of tactics in 1 year or in one decade doesn't mean they couldn't change and use the set of tactics, a different set of tactics later on. So I think there's a lot of different ways of looking at this. Number one, the ALF is a great organization. They're doing great work. Currently, their published guidelines that suggest that they do everything they can to avoid hurting any life whatsoever, and that's fine. On the other hand, there's other organizations that are out there that don't have those guidelines, who I'm also more than happy to support and speak out for. And there's always a chance that the Animal Liberation Front could change their guidelines. I don't think it's up to us to tell them what their guidelines are. It's up to them, those people that are out there risking their lives and freedom on a daily basis. Those are the people that get to decide what actions are justified and what they're willing to do. So I don't think there's any reason for people sitting at home typing away on their computer to pretend that they get to say what the guidelines of the Animal Liberation Front are.
Okay, has it been accepted that it's generally been the guidelines have been for nonviolence and not hurting anyone?
Well, historically that's been what people have said. But let me tell you about a couple of quotes here by ALF activists in the past. For instance, hang on a second, let me just pull this up here, because in 1987, Tim Daly, who was a British Animal Liberation Front member, said, quote, "In a war, you have to take up arms and people will get killed, and I can support that kind of action by petrol bombing and bombs under cars, and probably at a later stage, the shooting of vivisectors on their doorsteps. It's a war, and there's no other way you can stop vivisectors," close quote. And in 1991, in USA Today, former ALF spokesperson Vivian Smith said, quote, "I would be overjoyed when the first scientist is killed by a liberation activist," close quote. So this is not new. What I'm saying isn't new. It's been said by others for decades, and it's currently bantered about by thousands, if not tens of thousands, of other people. I'm just the one that's giving it a public voice at the moment.
Now, some listeners have said to me, doesn't this now give sympathy to the vivisectors as victims themselves who can now say, well, here we are, we're saving lives, we're trying to save lives, and they want to kill us?
Well, I mean, the victim will always try to, you know, portray themselves into, you know, a sympathetic figure. But listen, what they're doing is they are torturing and killing millions of animals. And I'm sorry, there's just no way I'm ever going to see that person as a victim. If they want to try to portray themselves, fine. I don't think, you know, abortion doctors, for instance, weren't all that successful in portraying themselves as victims. I mean, does President Bush run around saying, oh, you killed a couple of abortion doctors, therefore, you know, I can't support your cause against abortion? No, he's a staunch anti-abortionist as ever. So I think if we look at past struggles, we can see that that's not a very effective tactic to try to just declare yourself a victim and try to ruin the movement that way.
Did killing abortion doctors advance the cause of the anti-abortion movement, do you think?
Absolutely. There are far fewer abortions done today because of that strategy.
This is so sorry. You know, it's so sad to me that it comes to this, because really, you know, in wanting a vegan world, one would want a nonviolent world, and it's really so upsetting to me that the situation is driving, you know, people to such frustration. You know, I mean, I have to say that I'm for nonviolence, yet if one were to see what happens in a vivisection lab, if it were done on the street, you know, if what happens in a slaughterhouse or fur farm were done on the street, you know, the average citizen might stand up with a bat, you know, to try to help defend that victim, you know. So it's
absolutely. If somebody came into your home and was, you know, and was in, you know, some big burly guy and he was going to, you know, maybe rape and kill your wife, and you had no other choice but the baseball bat laying at your side, I don't think anybody in the world, well, maybe there's a few complete pacifists out there, but not many. I mean, not many people would refuse to use violence to save their family members. Well, if these animals really are our family, then why aren't we willing to use the same strategy? Listen, I'm anti-violence myself. I hate violence. I see violence every day when I go to work, and you know, I see people that are shot or stabbed or, you know, otherwise beaten up, and I'm, you know, I'm taking care of these people and trying to save their lives. So no one knows violence more than I do, and I'm against it more than you are probably. But on the other hand, I'm against it, you know, when used by animal abusers, and I don't see any other way to stop them from doing what they're doing. We've tried everything else, Bob. We've tried legislating it to death. We've tried, you know, appealing to their sense of compassion. We've tried everything else, and it's just not working. And there's more animals being tortured and killed every single year. So whatever we've been doing just doesn't seem to be working. And so I think that the only other thing to look at is the use of violence in self-defense, self-defense of ourselves, self-defense of our family, self-defense of the animals, which are our family.
It's so sad that it comes to this. And you know, to me, I would prefer that you know, all the vivisection in the world be exposed. You know, at UCLA, it shouldn't be behind you know, windowless walls there, but should be, you know, at the Student Union Center, and then, you know, maybe there'd be that outcry. But this is it's troubling, I believe. You know, this is the whole situation is troubling. And you know, have people who are concerned, though, that you're not trying to broad stroke the entire animal rights movement as a violent movement now, because people are concerned that this will reflect upon them, and they're concerned about, you know, how this looks to the world when violence is being condoned.
Listen, there will always be other arms of the movement. There's always going to be people working on legislation. There's always going to be people protesting, trying to expose, like you said, atrocities going on behind closed doors. There's always going to be people handing out Why Vegans and doing potluck dinners, and that's fine. You know, those people do those things. All I'm saying is that there's also going to be an underground a group that's freeing animals and causing economic sabotage and like the Animal Liberation Front, and that there may be and I don't know if it'll happen or not, but there may be a group that's willing to say, you know, we're going to stop these people using whatever it takes. So that doesn't mean that just because there's been people out there breaking into labs and freeing animals, such as the Animal Liberation Front, doesn't mean that those people that, you know, want to work above ground and do protests or whatever else are painted in that same brush. And I don't think it'll apply to the next stage of the movement either.
Mm. Well, you know, this is very stark and I'm sure shocking to a lot of people who are watching 60 Minutes. And they, you know, again, they said this is radical fringe extremists. I don't know. You know, I there's so much radical extremism going on in Congress, too. I mean, right now they're rewriting the Endangered Species Act to just wipe out species. And, you know, that's radical extremism also. But, gosh, I just decry the violence and hope that there are other ways to convince people that, and you as a, you were a vivisectionist yourself, and, you know, as becoming, right, and becoming a doctor in medical school, and...
Well, absolutely, although most doctors don't experiment on animals anymore to become doctors. I did choose to do animal research when I was, later on in my career, when I was in my surgical training. I did do animal research, so I've been there. I've seen the suffering, and I've also seen, from a scientific standpoint, how stupid it is, and how it's not producing the results that they try to say they are, that they're wasting hundreds of millions of dollars on animal research that could be used to help human patients, which it's not. 85% of all the data they gather is thrown away, it's never even published, and the rest of it that's published is almost never useful for human beings. And meanwhile, you know, you look around the world, 20,000 children are dying of diarrheal diseases every single week because they don't have access to clean water. And 45 million people in our own country don't have access to basic health care. So, you know, these people can, you know, get on their ivory tower and preach all day long about how they're saving human beings by chopping up animals in a laboratory somewhere. If they were really interested in helping people, they'd be, you know, talking about vegan diets. They'd be supplying clean water to every human being on the planet. And they'd be providing, you know, just basic health care to everyone. So they don't care about human health. They care about, you know, publishing articles and advancing their academic careers. And having been there, I can tell you that's the motivation.
By the way, in the past, there have been vivisectionists who have torched their own facilities, you know what I mean, who have, you know, their research wasn't coming out right, so they say they were vandalized by the ALF. And I'm often suspicious and will be suspicious if somebody is injured in an event, if it's, you know, if it's not the other side doing something, you know.
Well, we have to be careful. You know, the FBI's COINTELPRO was able to pretty much devastate the Black Panther movement back in the 70s, 60s and 70s. And I think we have to be very careful. You mentioned earlier that there was all this controversy within the animal rights movement. It's not at all unbelievable that there are agents that are infiltrating our ranks and creating dissent and so forth and trying to destroy the movement from within. So one of my cautionary notes to anybody listening out there that is a member of the animal liberation movement is to be hyper-vigilant of these people who are coming in and trying to create dissent and discord amongst the movement, because they were very effective in destroying other movements in the past, and I think that has to be a real concern of the animal liberation movement as we move forward.
I recently learned that came to the conclusion that animal research kills about 1,500,000 or so people a year in this country. And I came to that conclusion. I had Dr. Joel Furman on my show, who does an excellent, excellent lecture on nutrition. And, you know, as a vegan, one is always asked, the first question is, well, how do you get your protein? And it was through tests on rats that showed protein made them grow bigger faster, that was translated to humans, and now we find that the growing bigger faster is one of the indications of early death. Those creatures that grow biggest fastest die sooner, youngest. And the association then with the protein, with cancer and heart disease, etc., just extrapolating from the animal experiment on rats, now kills over 1,500,000 people in this country.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the protein myth, as they call it, is put out there by industry to try to make you buy more animal products. But basically, the average American eats about three times as much protein as they really need. And it's absolutely impossible to eat a protein-deficient diet if you're eating a varied vegan diet with, you know, plenty of all the other nutritional things that you need. So, you know, protein deficiency just should not be a major concern of anyone. I mean, there's been, you know, world-class bodybuilders that are vegan, and they manage to get enough protein. So I think for the average guy on the street, there's absolutely no need to worry about getting enough protein.
Actually, December 11th out at the farm, 41st in Alameda, it's a Sunday, noon to 5 p.m., we have Kenneth G. Williams, who's a world champion vegan bodybuilder. So people who are into sports, athletics, come on out that day. We probably have about another minute. Somebody expressed concern that what you're advocating might lead to legislation that's more threatening to our freedom of speech, that's more threatening to animal rights advocates who are targeted anyway. What about that?
Well, I think Andrew Lindsay, one of the most eloquent speakers I've ever heard, said, and I think I'm quoting him correctly, you only feel the chains when you begin to move. And I think it's important that we realize that if we're not making any difference, then the government's going to be more than happy to leave us alone. And it's only when we start making a difference that we're going to see changes and perhaps unfavorable changes for a while, just like they have in England. I mean, in England, they're a much more effective movement there. The pharmaceutical industry has refused to invest in the infrastructure any longer until the animal rights people are under control, they've said. And there's been billions and billions of dollars that have not been invested in pharmaceutical companies there because of the animal rights movement. They're hugely effective. It's everybody knows about it. They've seen increased legislation against them, but it hasn't stopped them one bit. It hasn't even slowed them down. And so I think we can't be afraid of making progress. And this is where I'm talking about so many of my critics come from. They're afraid of making progress because with progress, you know, comes change, and change is scary to a lot of people, whether it's laws passed against us or whether it's, longer prison terms for those that get caught doing illegal actions, whatever it is, those things only come about when we're making a difference. And the alternative is to not make any difference and to keep going along like we've been going along with the same number of animals or more animals being killed every single year. I think we have to look at what we've been doing. It's not working, and it's time to add new elements to the struggle.
Do you recommend any websites to people, where your comments might be available, or, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. The North American Animal Liberation Press Office is the best place to go. It's animalliberationpressoffice.org on the web, www.animalliberationpressoffice.org, all one word, spelled out. There's plenty of links there to get you other places. There's essays on this topic, and there's also a listing of current ALF and other underground actions that have been going on, along with their communiques and press releases and so forth. Everybody that wants to keep up, that's a good site to start.
Okay. Well, and, you know, 30 seconds left. How has this affected you personally? I mean, you're in the spotlight now. Oh, and wasn't it that Huntington Life Sciences was not being listed on the New York Stock Exchange that prompted that Senate meeting? Was that what?
Yeah, one of the things that they discussed, and they actually had the chief counsel for the New York Stock Exchange, is that the morning that Huntington Life Sciences was supposed to be listed on the New York Stock Exchange, listing was canceled while the executives were actually there having their little celebratory breakfast when their listing was canceled right there in front of them. It was a huge embarrassment to them, and it had a huge impact on their stock price. Their stock price has fallen from $18 a share back down to about $10 a share. And again, that's a 5-to-1 reverse split from what it used to be. So really their share is selling for about $2 a share. Huntington Life Sciences, and part of the reason that happened was that Stop Huntington Animal Cruelty put out a call for everybody to send polite letters and faxes to the New York Stock Exchange telling them that they did not want to be see HLS listed. And by the way, a few days before, the yacht club of a number of the members of the New York Stock Exchange was attacked by the Animal Liberation Front. So I think all of that pressure together was very successful in keeping HLS off the New York Stock Exchange, driving their share price down, and putting another nail in HLS's coffin.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Jerry Vlasic, for being on today's show. And I'm sure this controversy will continue now. It's taken the conversation where it hasn't gone before.
A pleasure, as always, Bob.
Thank you so much for being with us today. That was Dr. Jerry Vlasic on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. You saw him on 60 Minutes recently. And, well, there's a new controversy for us to discuss. There you have it. If you've been silent at home, you know, after arguing with the family, now there's a new subject for you to yell and scream at each other about. All right, we'll continue on Go Vegan with Bob Linden.
Fat and docile, big and dumb. They look so stupid, they aren't much fun. Cows aren't fun. They eat to grow, grow to die, die to be et at the hamburger fry. Cows well done. Nobody thunk it, nobody knew. No one imagined the great cow guru. Cows are one. He hid in the forest, read books with great zeal. He loved Che Guevara, a revolutionary veal. Cows say tongue. He spoke about justice, but nobody stirred. He felt like an outcast, alone in the herd. Cow doll drums. He moved, we must fight, escape or we'll die. Cows gathered around, cause the stakes were so high. Bad cow pun. But then he was captured, stuffed into a crate, loaded onto a truck where he rode to his fate. Cows are bummed. He was a scrawny calf who looked rather woozy. No one suspected he was packing an Uzi. Cows with guns. They came with a needle to stick in his thigh.
This is the actual sound of an animal being killed for a fur coat.
You're not gonna get your mouth. mouth on me.
Woman, they've bitten you three times. To hear that neck pop, it feels so good.
Buying a fur coat isn't just a pain in the neck. It's agony for animals. A message from Kaftan LCA. Call 1-888-88-ANIMAL.
Okay, well, I'm hearing from a lot of people who are drinking Himalayan goji juice and getting amazing results, having their blood pressure normalize and blood sugar and feeling better and more energy. And I invite you to go to the website. It's govegan.freelife.com. Govegan.freelife.com to learn all about goji juice. It's proven cancer protection, all of the research, the case histories that go into it, overall cell rejuvenation, powerful protection against germs. It's govegan.freelife.com, and you can order there. It's a 90-day money-back guarantee. See what Dr. Earl Mindell says about Himalayan goji juice. And goji means happy, and there's a two-week festival every year in Asia that the people are very happy about. And to live in that environment way up high there like that and still be happy, there must be something to it. Okay, so check it out, govegan.freelife.com.
Could have given the people animal burgers.
No, not when they could have given the people tofurkey. Yes, that's what we're having this year. We all enjoyed it over Thanksgiving, and you can still enjoy it through the holidays. Tofurkey, the whole family will love it, and it's now at your natural foods market. You'll find the tofurkey feast there, and the tofurkey roast itself. It's just totally wonderful. And also fabulous are tofurkey deli slices. Make those sandwiches with the veggies and tomato and tofurkey sausage and tofurkey jerky, all 100% vegan using certified organic soybeans and environmentally conscious packaging. You'll love it. Enter the tofurkey essay contest at tofurkey.com, T-O-F-U-R-K-Y.com. Also, if you want to hear the interview I did with the creator of tofurkey, Seth Tibbett, that's on the website, goveganradio.com. That's last week's show. Have a lot of great shows on there recently. The one on global warming, very interesting, I believe. And listen to Dr. Furman talking about disease-proofing your child. Very, very good information at goveganradio.com.
I'm a vegan because meat hurts animals.
Okay, I do believe we, go into the calendar of events here for a moment. And, a wonderful gift for the holiday season would be a family photo portrait of your companion animal. That would support Snap's Neuter Scooter for the San Diego area holiday schedule. To have a wonderful holiday photo snapped, visit snap.sandiego.org, snap.sandiego.org. And vegan cooking instruction going on. If you want to feel better and you want to know how to learn how to live longer and healthier, if you want to be free from disease and illness, if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, address those issues. You can learn about bird flu, vegan cooking instructions, wholesome vegan refreshments will be served, and you can hear from medical doctors and other various health consultants. And that would be this Tuesday. That would be Tuesday night, November 29th. Where? In Malibu at Webster Elementary School, 3602 Winter Canyon Road. And that's this Tuesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. If you have any questions, it's 818-458-8884. 818-458-8884 for this free health seminar. Again, that's Tuesday, 7 to 9 p.m., Webster Elementary School in Malibu. Okay, once again, I want to remind you about South Central Farm Aid Vegan Support Day. Please make your plans to attend Sunday, December 11th, noon to 5 p.m., 41st and Alameda. You can go to southcentralfarmers.com for why we're doing it, but it's going to be a great event. We're trying to bring awareness so that we can try to help save the farm. Ed Begley Jr. will be out there at noon to 12:30. We have Alfredo Cuba coming down from Northern California, PETA's first Cesar Chavez Award winner. Say hi to Kenneth G. Williams, the champion vegan bodybuilder. If you're vegan, we'll call it a potluck, but we have great vegan food coming from Truly Vegan, Vegetable Delight. Yeah, bring out vegan food, and if you have an organization, bring out your literature. $10 suggested donation at the door if you can afford it, and farmers market that day, so it's going to be fun. Reggae music, live reggae music from the people. Linda Blair is doing a book signing. She has a wonderful book out called Going Vegan, which I suggest you buy. So stop by, say hi to Linda Blair. Saturday, December 3rd, next Saturday, 7 p.m. That's at Dark Delicacies Bookstore, 4213 Burbank Boulevard in Burbank. You can call 818-556-6660, 818-556-6660, to say hi to Linda Blair. San Diego Animal Advocates will host an open house on International Animal Rights Day. Videos, literature, vegan snacks, holiday recipes, ideas on how you can help animals. That's Saturday, December 10th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the SDAA office, 4639 30th Street, Suite A, San Diego. The next day is the monthly SDAA activist meeting. That's Sunday, December 11th, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Everyone welcome. And again, that's 4639 30th Street, Suite A, San Diego. You can go to animaladvocates.org, animaladvocates.org, or call 619-794-0248, 619-794-0248 for that. Okay? So let's see here. Was this the pad I had? Information going on here. Where did I put that? What was I looking for? I'll talk amongst you. Oh, have I asked you to send a tax-deductible donation? Have I done that yet today? But please, I really need your support. We have to pay for the airtime each and every week on this radio show. So please, if you can. The La Jolla Harbor Seal Rookery's only daily protection from devastating human harassment is the Citizens Free Speech Movement called the Rake a Line, Hold a Sign Seal Protection Program. The seals need you. Get involved. Call 858-692-4840. 858-692-4840. The seals can be protected only if the public is educated. The website is SaveSanDiegoSeals.com. SaveSanDiegoSeals.com. And let's see here. Where are we on time? Okay, still got a couple of minutes here. In the moments we still have left, in the moment here when the GOP, the Government Oppression Party, is in disarray or is in incarceration. And before the Democrats get in and they become, you know, power obsessed and oppress you also. Well, right now, under the threat of a bipartisan filibuster, congressional leaders, misleaders, have, or maybe they're leading now, they've delayed a vote on the Patriot Act, the Patriot Act reauthorization legislation, now delayed, expected to take place early in December. The ACLU asks that you call your U.S. senator and misrepresentative in the U.S. House and demand that they say no to the Patriot Act reauthorization. Are they really going to vote these powers to the Reichwing, Gestapo, Repub, Lie, Con, National Party again? The Patriot Act reauthorization does not require a connection to a suspected terrorist for the FBI to get sensitive personal records. This bill makes the Patriot Act worse, according to the ACLU, by making it nearly impossible to overturn a gag order, creating fines for businesses that don't turn over sensitive records, punishes unauthorized disclosures that gag First Amendment rights. And let's face it, the Patriot Act just makes us gag, right? And you know, over 400 state and local governments around the United States had resolutions against it. But, you know, the will of the people never gets in the way of a bad government program. And we've certainly got a bad government and many bad government programs like this. Patriot Act thing makes you want to gag, huh? Okay, I want to thank you for listening. I appreciate it. Please stop eating animals. Stop wearing animals. Go vegan. The show's archived at the website, goveganradio.com. Please send money.